Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Laura's on assignment, doing things to uplift young ladies with Envision Fest. You got Rosenberg, and you got our friend of the show, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Jamal Bowman back on the program, running for office up there in District. What is that, 16? New York 16?
New York 16, correct, yes.
That's right, our one of our state representatives on the federal level.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. That's exactly right. State rep on the federal level. That's
well,
right.
And the reason I do that is because sometimes people forget that there are state representatives on the state level, and then there are state representatives on the federal level that sit in the House. And I think we have to not gloss over the reality that many of our American citizens don't know how the government is structured or work.
Man, please talk about it, and I appreciate you for continuing to break that down for people, because we got city level, county level, state level, federal level, and all this stuff in between that people don't really talk about, but is really important to your day-to-day lives. And we got school boards. People need to be running for school boards.
And then you got and in New York City, you got borough level.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's
you know exactly what I mean? Right. So, Jamal Bowman, let's get to the hot topic, man. You're running for office, and you have a highly contested district and a highly contested seat in the House. You are a progressive in the Democratic caucus, and we have had you on several times because of that, because we love how you're pushing things forward and looking for new solutions and not afraid to call people to task. Currently, and over the last few months since October 7th, you've been very outspoken about a ceasefire.
You know what that means, Ebro? That means he's become a target of AIPAC.
Oh, AIPAC is on him, donating to his competitor, Latimer, who he's involved in Westchester County in some way already.
Oh, no, he's the Westchester County executive and has been for the last 7 years. So people know him, people like him. Yeah.
So this is a tough one for you. But I just recently saw a poll. I think it was New York Times that said 2/3 of your district want a candidate that supports a ceasefire, as opposed to Latimer, who does not.
That's correct. I mean, people want peace, man. You know, that's the bottom line. People want peace. They want an end to not just this war, but all wars. People are watching on their social media, you know, babies being bombed, you know, kids starving to death. They're watching the atrocities of war and conflict. And so the only way to get to a sustainable, safe space and place for both Israelis and Palestinians and both the Jewish people and the Muslims and Christians who live out there is to get to a place of peace. And so this is something that people have been fighting for 75 years. This is not new. You know, people have been fighting, you know, against the occupation, against the blockade, and really like pushing conversations around U.S. foreign policy and where our money goes and what's it supporting and what we are not like holding our allies accountable for. And so all of that came to a head on October 7th with the you know, atrocious attacks by Hamas, which we condemned outright from the very beginning. But since then, what we've seen is collective punishment. We've seen the strategic cutting off on food and water and electricity. And very quickly, we called for a ceasefire because we saw the writing on the wall, if you will. Like, we knew that we would get to this point. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu, who is not liked in Israel and is not liked here at all, was using biblical references at the very beginning to pretty much, you know, tell us what he was going to do and foreshadow what he was going to do. And so, yes, the majority of the district, you know, want a ceasefire. And, you know, that should be common sense to most people who care about human rights. But unfortunately, my opponent is not there yet.
Now, is he not there yet because he wants the seat? Or is he truly, you truly believe that that's where he comes from? Because he knows he can get funding from the warmongers who have, and I'll let Rosenberg speak to this about like what the gain is actually in having this conflict in the first place, because we got to get into that also with settlers and Gaza and the waterfront. And, you know, Rosenberg is very close to this. And we've talked about this on the air for many, many years. But what do you think your opponent's real, honest, personal position is on this?
I mean, he's under the control of AIPAC. I mean, that is crystal clear. He was recruited by AIPAC even before October 7th and pretty much begged to run for this seat. Mm. And so he's controlled by AIPAC. He's a tool of AIPAC. And just so everyone's clear, he's a Democrat running against me in a Democratic primary. And AIPAC is funded by Republican GOP mega donors. And they have funded and supported election denying Republicans in the House of Representatives. So I just want to be clear about this. This person has been, over his career, a Democrat, 35 years. But now he is signing with AIPAC, who cares more about, you know, another country than they do here. And he's signing with Republicans who tried to take the election by force in 2020. This is who he's siding with to run against the first black man, first person of color in U.S. history to be in this seat. I mean, he received $600,000 in 4 weeks from AIPAC when he launched his campaign, and another $500,000 from Republicans. And he's doing fundraisers with Trump mega donors and Wall Street fraudsters. I mean, this is corruption and big money in politics 101. And it has nothing to do with the people of Yonkers, the Bronx, Mount Vernon, New Rochelle. It's all about the most powerful and wealthiest in my district, unfortunately.
Well, and Rosenberg, before you jump in, I think it should be pointed out these strange bedfellows and this weird axis Venn diagram that we talk about, right? Because taking Jamal Bowman's seat away from him now reduces the progressive power in the House. So even if you aren't aligned or don't care about what's going on in Israel, you just want to make sure someone like Jamal Bowman, with a voice and a perspective like Jamal Bowman's, is out of the House that could stand in the way of the Marjorie Taylor Greens and their agenda and these other conservative agendas in the House. And you can get in a more moderate Democrat that is in the pockets of some of these GOP people to maybe abstain or not vote on things or fall back when needed. You don't have that extra seat there.
That's right. And black and brown people and young people don't have a voice in Congress that they really support. Because when you look at the polling, it's crystal clear. Like, people under 50, people of color, real progressives support us, like, extremely, at an extremely high level. And so that's what they're trying to take out. I mean, since I've gotten in, and to your point, let's take the Israel issue aside. We've been fighting for universal health care, universal child care, housing as a human right, fully funding our public schools, economic development, and investing in historically marginalized communities. All the things that people want when you look in Poland. We've been fighting for those things. But special interests and the power elite and big money in politics controls all the politics, Republican and Democrat alike. And so that's why I get, you know, pushback from my party as well, as we can see with this primary challenge that we have.
I feel like, Jamal, this subject is such an interesting case study in what is such a major flaw about government as we know it. Because AIPAC has literally turned from being a primarily Democrat-based PAC to now basically all Republicans, because all of these issues, these are all just one issue people. They only have one agenda, and that agenda seems to be whatever Israel wants, they support. I'm just confused, though, when people give you pushback on this subject, Is it just as simple as we want you to blindly support Israel? What could AIPAC even be arguing is good about this war for the future security of our beloved ally, Israel?
Thank you for that question, and thank you for phrasing it that way. It's been the conflation of criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. That has been the thing. That is what has been weaponized over the years. Israel is a state for the Jewish people. Everything we do is on behalf of the Jewish people. If you criticize Israel, you're criticizing the Jewish people. And you know that couldn't be further from the truth, because to criticize a state is to criticize how that government functions and operates as regards to its policy.
Nobody says you're critiquing Islam when you criticize Saudi Arabia.
That's where I'm going. So when I criticize the U.S., same thing, policy. When I criticize Saudi Arabia, policy, China, policy. It's all about the policy. And as it relates to the issue of anti-Semitism, I believe very strongly, and scholars believe this. And listen, I'm not just talking out my ass here. Like, I did my homework when I ran against Congressman Elliot Engel, because he was the number one pro-Israel chair of the Foreign Affairs Committee person in Congress that I knew I had to run against. So I did my homework and I met with scholars and researchers here. But I also went there to Israel and I met with scholars in Israel, in Jerusalem. And I went to the West Bank and I went to Ramallah and Hebron and met with former IDF soldiers as part of a Breaking the Silence program to hear them tell. So I'm not just talking. Like, I'm trying to figure out, okay, we've been saying two-state solution. When are we going to make this happen? And then when I went there, I was like, oh, y'all not really serious about that. We have 700,000 Israeli settlers in the West Bank that are supposed to be Palestinian land. Y'all not, this is just a talking point for y'all. And so for me, the safety and security of the people of Israel is directly connected to the safety and security of Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza. And if we're talking about one without the other, we're not having real conversations.
Correct.
And with regard to anti-Semitism globally, I'm an educator, so I'm biased towards education. All we're doing politically is pandering to this notion of criticizing Israel as anti-Semitic, as opposed to doing the real work on the ground in schools, in school districts with people to really deal with the issue of anti-Semitism, hate, sexism, and all the shit that continues to hold us back.
All the isms.
So
all the isms.
You know what's fascinating? I remember about a year ago, whenever Netanyahu was reelected the last time, my dad sent me an article from Tom Friedman, and my dad has never seen things the same way as Tom Friedman. Tom Friedman was always further right than my dad. Always was, you know, pretty hard line for Israel.
Well, and Rosenberg, you're assuming that people know who your dad is.
Sorry, my father writes on this subject and has for 50 years, right? I recommend everyone go look for his Substack, MJ Rosenberg, on The Endless Crisis is the name of his Substack that he writes on every day. So I just looked up Thomas Friedman on the New York Times, like his, you know, page where you can see all of his articles. Starting so long before October 7th, months and months before that, this guy who was generally pretty right on Israel started
writing.
And
by right, you mean conservative.
Correct. February 28th, 2023, Netanyahu is shattering Israeli society. March 7th, 2023, American Jews, you have to choose sides on Israel. March 14th, 2023, Putin and Netanyahu show why bad things happen to bad leaders. March 28th, 2023, Jamal, Netanyahu cannot be trusted. This is Thomas Friedman, who is a conservative, writing way back before October 7th. So it's really upsetting, and I wonder if you get into this with some of your fellow Democrats who are following sort of the AIPAC line on Israel, is don't you realize this is a far alt-right government, and we've known that for a while now?
Well, and the Israeli citizenship has been protesting this government up until October 7th, until it became, you know, obviously there was a war going on and people got out of the streets.
Well, the man was trying to wipe out the power of the judiciary branch in Israel.
Yeah. and not just protesting in the hundreds of thousands every weekend. They were filling the streets protesting Netanyahu's government. And yes, he trying to wipe out the judiciary, which is the only branch of government that could hold him accountable for what he wanted to do, which was annex the West Bank, which is what he said out loud. And so to your question, big money controls politics. AIPAC has a very strong arm in the United States Congress, in the House and the Senate. No one wants to be criticized of being anti-Semitic. And when you challenge AIPAC, brother, like the calls I get in my office are out of control. Like the calls, the letters, the emails, like my office stops functioning because we have to respond to all of the incoming, the intimidation tactics, the bullying, again, the weaponization of being against Israel. All of that happens. And my colleagues, many of them don't want to deal with that. Like my colleagues, a lot, you know, with not all of them, many of them, their goal is to not have a primary race. If I didn't say anything, I wouldn't even be in the primary right now. I would just be chilling, coasting to a victory in my third term, because many and it's built on seniority, right? So the longer you stay, the more power you have, the more influence you have. So why do I want to put myself in a position where I may lose a race and then not have any influence in the House of Representatives? And that's why we need full democracy reform, from the filibuster, the Senate, to electoral college, to big money in politics, to all of it, because all those old ways of doing things got us in a position where we might have a real fascist back in the White House in November. And so, yeah, man, that's the fight. This is not just, you know, Israel and the state of Israel, not the people, AIPAC, what's happening in the U.S. with Trump, Western, you know, societies. This is all part of how things used to be and us evolving and transitioning to a world and a country that really works for all people.
Now, Jamal, how did the temperature change? I don't, in any way, when Chuck Schumer came out unequivocally against Netanyahu and the government, the current, I guess. Well, how does the government work there? Because I really don't know how. Like, is he like? I thought he got voted out. Then he got back in. I don't understand it, but. The current leader of Netanyahu in Israel, Chuck Schumer, the highest ranking, not only Democrat in Congress, but also a Jewish man.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Yeah, so it changed considerably. I got a ton of text messages from people in the district saying, like, you was right. You know, now Schumer's on board. This is going to be good for you. This is going to be good for us. And, you know, people could feel sort of the tides changing a little bit. I mean, even a couple weeks prior, I believe it was VP Harris who called for at least a temporary ceasefire. Right. Which we had not heard the White House say that out loud up until that point. And then President Biden was critical of the state of Israel in his State of the Union. We had not seen that before.
Right.
So there is a shift happening, obviously not fast enough because we have over a million people starving to death. And that's horrific. But it is shifting. And in the district, you know, the majority of the people were kind of already there on ceasefire when we called for it. Now, as it relates to the, you know, pro-Israel community in the district, that there hasn't been much of a shift because for them, you know, my opponent is their guy, and that's just the way it's going to be. And you know, anyone who goes
but based on the information you have, if everybody shows up to the polls to vote,
correct,
they need more people.
Well, this is the critical point here. Like, this race is going to really illuminate how serious we are about saving our democracy, but also building power in certain communities. Because if young people show up, if people of color show up, if real progressives show up, we win, and we win convincingly. But they have to register. They have to register as a Democrat, which is problematic for people. But they got to understand, in New York State, to vote in a primary, you got to be registered with a party, Republican or Democrat, to vote in the primary. We could get into that on another call. But they got to be registered, registered as a Democrat. They got no election day. It's June 25th, not election day, November 7th or whatever it is. And then they got to go out and vote, or vote early, or vote by mail-in ballot. And, you know, again, the reason why I ran, the reason why I try to govern the way that I do, is to make sure people understand, like, the stakes of being involved or not being involved. When we're not engaged and not involved, you got people in office. That's why I ran for office. Engel was there 31 years. Only 20,000 people were voting this guy into office every year.
And how many people live in the district, just to give an example?
440,000 registered Democrats. Only 20,000 had voted for him the campaign before I ran. Making multi-billion-dollar decisions that impact the people in this district. Mm-hmm. The reason why we don't have affordable housing and all the stuff that we know we deserve and want and demand and pay taxes for is because of the people in office. You got people in office who side with AIPAC and special interests. They not fighting for the people in Mount Vernon and Yonkers. Let me just say one more thing real quick. My opponent and Rosenberg, you're going to like this. Okay. My opponent, when he returned from Israel after October 7th, he said it's the first time he ever saw bullet holes in his life. My man is a county executive in Westchester County, which includes Mount Vernon and Yonkers.
You ain't seen no bullet holes. You ain't been through Yonkers.
Well, what that tells me is when there's a shooting in your own county, you don't show up. What that tells me is you do not have an anti-gun violence initiative, anti-poverty initiative, you don't have initiatives that deal with working class people on your agenda as the county executive, which, by the way, the county executive is like the president of the county. People don't know this. That, like, they have a $2.3 billion budget to disseminate. You had to go to Israel to see bullet holes? Listen, we don't want to see bullet holes anywhere. But I know about the rise in gun violence that happened in Mount Vernon and Yonkers, and, you know, where black and brown people live, when I first got in, because it was COVID. People were stressed. It was all kind of crazy stuff going on. You had to go to Israel to see that?
Crazy.
Wow. Crazy. And he said that shit out loud. Like, it was like, because he's pandering. He's pandering to a lobby while ignoring the black and brown people in his district. He posted on Instagram yesterday, after he did a BS gun violence photo op, like he'd been doing stuff on this, he ain't been doing anything, but he posted on his Instagram, gun violence is not a top issue in Westchester County. Mm. What? That tells you right there where his mindset is. He used to live in Mount Vernon. He lives in Rye right now. And talk to the victims of gun violence and the people who live in Yonkers, you know, Mount Vernon, New Rochelle, different places. Talk to them and see what their day-to-day lives are like, and tell them it's not an issue in our district.
Now, well, Jamal, said, since being on the job, let's talk about some of the wins in the win column. I remember having you on some years ago when Biden got elected with regard to funding coming into the school district in Westchester County, and money that had been kind of held up since 2016 that was able to get, you know, shook a loose, let's say, and the coffers were opened up to be able to get funding into the school system in Mount Vernon, into the school system in Yonkers, to get much needed upgrades and things happening in the community. How did that go? How are things going? Talk to us about the money you were able to pull from the federal government into your district.
I mean, it's been incredible. We've been able to bring well over $1 billion into the district to invest in everything from workforce development to affordable housing to education to criminal justice reform to climate justice. Every category, every area that we wanted to focus on, we've been able to focus on. And our mission has been very clear from the beginning. The areas that have been historically neglected, we are going to invest there because it solves two problems. One, when we talk about the root causes of violence, the root causes stem from poverty and lack of economic opportunity, and also connect to mental health and substance abuse. So we made sure to invest there. And it's not just about money, man. It's about relationships. So, for example, the Westchester Youth Shelter works as an alternative to incarceration program for young men and women who, you know, commit a crime and need to be held accountable. Instead of putting them in jail, let's give them an alternative to incarceration program. Great program. What was missing was the investments in mental health and substance abuse that those young people needed to help put them on the right track. So we partnered them with a program called the CARES program in New York City, gave them over $1 million in investment, and now they're merging to form the second CARES program in the country that combines criminal justice reform with education with mental health supports. So it's things like that. It's also about, you know, the economic development aspect of it. So it's help them with what they need now, mental health, education, substance abuse, but then put them on a pathway to workforce development. So we've invested in workforce development programs at the YWCA, the HOPE program in the Bronx, environmental leaders of color, because we're focusing on environmental justice and the 21st century technological skills they're gonna need. We've been able to do all of that. So it's not just the money, it's the relationships and the communities and the programs that my opponent and many elected officials have completely ignored because they're not creative in their thinking and innovative in their thinking. And it's in response to things that happen in the community. Young man gets shot and killed in New Rochelle with a ghost gun. We write a letter to President Biden giving him 6 or 7 things he could do through executive action. One is banning ghost guns. What does the president do? He bans ghost guns. A girl gets stabbed and killed in Mount Vernon. We don't just show up and give thoughts and prayers. We meet with the youth bureau there and we develop a program for at-risk girls. We give them $1 million to implement this program. And now they're targeting at-risk girls in middle and high school and just giving these girls self-esteem, self-worth, technical skills, and everything they need. While also doing infrastructure projects in some of the other parts of the district like Hastings, Mamaroneck, Arsley, and Tuckahoe. So that's the work, right? The work is, one, you know, it's about the people in the district that have been neglected and left behind, but two, it's aspirational. Like, what's the vision for this district and how do we work to make that happen? That is the kind of thing when you get people like us into office that we're going to fight for, that we're going to do. Because guess what? We don't got to go across the world to see bullet holes. I lost 5 friends to gun violence and senseless violence before I was 21 years old, growing up in New York City during the crack cocaine era. That's why you need people like us in office to do this work.
Now, how does this bode with the kind of, let's call it the old political guard in your district, right? There was, I read an article that there were some clergy members and leaders and things like that that felt like they weren't aligned in your plans and policy, but they represented kind of the older generation of the district versus this kind of young movement. Can you talk about how you've been trying to bring those worlds together and having any success?
Yeah, there is a generational gap for sure. I've had multiple clergy breakfasts and clergy conversations. We just had another one this past Saturday. We're going to do a few more going forward. And there's generational divides and there's ideological divides. Some tend to be a bit more conservative. For example, you know, when it comes to criminal justice reform, many think I may go a little too far with some of the things that I've said as it relates to police violence and other things. And so it's about building relationships, making connections, see if we can find common ground. One thing you know, I feel pretty confident about is when it comes to speaking up for black and brown and poor and progressive people, like, you know, I'll put my record up against anybody. And that's something that all clergy, regardless of age or ideology, really align themselves to. And they also align themselves to, like, my background, right? Like, I didn't just, you know, raise a single mom and all that, like I said before, but I was an educator for 20 years before doing this. You know, I was a teacher, high school dean of students, and middle school principal for 10 years. So, I've already served the community for multiple decades daily through education and other means. So they really appreciate that. I bring that perspective to this work, because that perspective always begins with the most vulnerable and always invests in education as the ultimate equalizer. That's why we used to go so hard with the issue of universal child care, man. You know, people, we talk about housing. Child care is like a mortgage payment, yo. Yeah, it's crazy out here. And so people are underemployed, which means they're not making enough money. And then they got to pay child care and rent. Their money's gone. And then when they go and take a vacation, when they get a vacation, they got to use credit to do that. And then their credit turned up bad. And we ain't even talking about groceries and all that stuff.
What vacation?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? And so, you know, we fight hard for universal child care, universal pre-K, paid leave, home care, investing in special education, all of that, because it's that holistic approach that really helps communities to create the ecosystem to thrive. Mm. And again, this is foreign language to many of my colleagues in office, including my opponent, because a lot of them they're just in office to keep things going the way they are.
Status quo.
And why would we want to do that if we just had President Trump and we might get him again? And he's talking about deporting brown people and deporting the radical left and bringing back the Muslim ban. Like, what we're doing ain't working. We got to do other things.
His name is Jamal Bowman. He represents New York 16, contested seat up there in the House. And a friend of the show, man. We're proud of you, man. I got to say, like, you know, there was a couple of crazy moments. It was you and Marjorie Taylor Greene. He was going to punch some dude in the face in the House. Something was going. Me and Rosemary was like, nah, we got to call our guy, man. He can't be roughing people up there, man. What's going on, man? But I felt you, though.
Listen, I appreciate that. Please always reach out to recalibrate me if you need to. Okay, it's okay. Send me a text. Recalibrate me. Make sure I'm good.
Well, and I'm sure you see some of the behavior in the House, and you're like, how is this happening? Like, who are these individuals? How is this happening? How is this decor? Like, how is this on? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, I sit with, so we, like the squad, me, Summer, Corey, Alex, Ayan, all of us, we kind of sit together in the House. What's most frustrating for me is everybody in there has high capacity and is completely capable of doing great work. But it's like so many other political factors that stops us from doing it, that it becomes very frustrating. Like, we could be doing way more historic work for the country, but we're not doing it yet. But I still think we got time to make it happen.
Jamal Bowman, thank you, man. I'm guessing it's March. You said voting is in June 25th.
June 25th is my primary. That's not like the presidential primary. Presidential primary is in a couple of weeks. The congressional primary is June 25th.
Yeah, they do a great job making sure people have to go out to vote 4 or 5 times a year. 4 or 5 times. That's what everyone needs.
No, New York State's a disaster, bro.
It's a disaster, man.
All right, y'all. Peace and love. We'll spread the word.
Thanks, Jamal.
Respect, sir.
Take care, bro.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.